Amos chapter 7, verse number 10. Then Amaziah the priest of Bethel sent to Jeroboam king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword. Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel and it is the king's court. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, Go, prophesy unto my people Israel. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to open your word. God, please help me, give me the right words, and help me to get to the point. Help me to make sense to these guys, Lord, and be a blessing to all of us, Lord. I pray you would show us how we can apply it, and God, show us where it will help us in our lives practically, Lord. Please help the guys to hear your voice through the preaching. Make us more like you, Lord. God, we need your help. We do enter this new year, and we want to be better for you. But God, we need you to speak to us, and I pray that this would do that. God, I can't do that to these guys. I can't show some deeper meaning or anything like that, Lord. But I can just teach them what your word says. But God, your Holy Spirit can work in our hearts and minds and show us what needs to change and what changes need to be made now. God, I pray you do that for us. Please give me the right words and help, everything that I need, Lord. And we love you. Pray you bless our day in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you guys for standing. Guys, in this passage, the pressure is turned up intensely on this prophet Amos. This is going on in the 700s BC. The kingdom is split in two at this point. All right, let me just back up just a moment. Guys, we know about King Saul and King David and Solomon, right? That's when the kingdom was together. Israel was together. The whole nation was together. All 12 tribes were together as a kingdom at that point. After Solomon, what happened? Can anybody fill in the blanks for me with that? Huh? It split. Why did it split?
Because
of Solomon's sin, but also when did it split? It was because of the guy that Proverbs was written to, right? Rehoboam, he's now the king, and they say, take it easier on us. Your dad Solomon was tough, he was hard, take it easier on us. He consults two groups of people, right? The older men say, listen to the people. Be lenient on the people. Take a step back on them. The young men said, no, you crank it up. You crank up the intensity. You make it even tougher on these people. If they thought Solomon was bad, they ain't seen nothing yet. They're going to see how bad Rehoboam is and really beat them down. And when he followed the young men's advice, then those 10 tribes said, fine, that's the way you want to treat us, we're gone. And the kingdom split to where you had two tribes in the southern kingdom, Judah and Benjamin. That's it in the southern kingdom. That's where Jerusalem is, and Solomon's line, they carry on with that kingdom. The rest of them go to the northern tribes, 10 tribes, and Jeroboam was the king at that point. This is about 150 years later where we are. There's another guy named Jeroboam, king. All right, northern kingdom, 10 tribes. Does anybody know what it's called? Israel. All right, the southern tribes, you know what that's called, two tribes. What are they called? Jerusalem's the capital, but it's Judah, two tribes, south, Judah, and then northern Israel, 10 tribes. What we're dealing with is the 10 tribes that are north, okay? I hope I didn't lose you with all that, but we're going somewhere with this. This was a very pressurized time and a big threat that Amos was facing, guys. He was standing for God. Listen, if you look back at the beginning of this book, I'm just going to kind of browse as quick as I can through some of these. Guys, he starts out right out of the gate, man. He's got both barrels blazing. He comes out preaching hard. And what he does is, Wes, he starts banging on some of the surrounding nations. Okay? He talks about Damascus. This is chapter 1, verse number 3. Damascus, that's Syria. Verse 6, he gets on Gaza. That's Philistia. Verse 9, Tyre. Verse 11, Edom. Verse 13, Ammon. You get into chapter 2, verse 1, he talks about Moab. These are nations around Israel. All right? Guys, what do you think the reaction of the people of Israel was when Amos comes out blazing these other nations? I think the reaction was, yeah, get them. Right? Take down Moab. Take down Ammon. All these enemies of us and all these nations that surround us. Tell them how wicked they are and get on them and get on their sin. Yeah, we like that. He keeps on preaching, though. And in verse 4 and 6 of chapter 2, guys, he's not talking about surrounding nations anymore. He talks about Judah in verse number 4 and then Israel in verse number 6, which we just talked about. I think the reaction changed quite a bit, don't you? At first, hey, you ever been in a crowd and it seems like maybe the preacher's getting on some stuff that doesn't really concern you, and you're like, yeah, I don't have to worry about that, but some of them other people. And then things change, the mood shifts, and maybe it gets on some of the stuff in your life. That can be uncomfortable. And I'm thinking the people in Judah and Benjamin started thinking, whoa, Amos, maybe you need to quiet down. Maybe you don't need to be so zealous and so on fire for God. Maybe you just quiet down and shut up a little bit. We don't want to hear that. See, guys, sometimes we're all about, yeah, get on the liberals and get on the homosexuals and get on the people drinking and the drugs out there, because I don't do that stuff. But then we talk about having a bad attitude to your parents, disobeying them, not achieving your best in school, and cussing when you're with your friends and watching dirty things and clicking on things. And then we start thinking, I don't like that no more. Hey, guys, if it's God's word, it's right for them and it's right for us too. And I like how Amos comes right out of the gate with that. A famous verse in Amos is Amos 3:3. He says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Hey, guys, watch the friends that you hang around, the people you associate with. In chapter 4, he talks about all the things that God had brought on this nation, trying to bring them back to God. We're talking about Israel here. He's saying, I brought famine and drought and plagues and different military defeats into your life. And this phrase keeps coming up in chapter 4, verses 6, 8, 9, 10, 11, several times. It says, yet have you not returned unto me. God said, I brought a famine, but you didn't come back to me. I brought a drought, but you didn't come back to me. I brought all these hard times. Listen, guys, sometimes you just have the ups and downs in life. Sometimes, though, those difficulties are God trying to get your attention. We need to ask God. Sometimes I think we just think, oh, it's just part of life. And sometimes it is. But if you're in sin, the way of the transgressor is hard. The Bible says that very clearly. He says, you haven't returned unto me. You haven't returned unto me. Chapter 5, he says, you need to seek the Lord. Verse 4, verse 6, verse 8. He's saying, seek the Lord, seek the Lord, seek the Lord. Guys, what are you doing passionately to go after and pursue God in your life? I like this verse. Verse 23 of chapter 5. It says, take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, and I will not hear the melody of thy vials. But let judgment rain down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. Guys, we live in a day and age of praise and worship teams, and people rocking out in the name of Jesus. Can I remind you something very simply from these verses? If we don't live right, God doesn't want to hear our music. So I would say that chops the legs out of a lot of that culture and mentality and music, because guys, they're not living right. And they say, we're just worshiping the Lord. And then after we worship, you want to go down to the bar? That's not worshiping God. It's not worshiping God. Listen, and what we need to do, we need to mean it on the inside and then do it in a way that pleases God on the outside. Chapter 7, God starts giving Amos these visions. And I just want to focus on one of them. Verse number 8, you see that? Chapter 7, verse number 8, and then we'll get to the point here. The Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? So God shows him something. He said, and I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. In verse number 9, and the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. I will raise up against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. A plumb line kind of looks something like this. That would be straight, though. That's pretty important. It's kind of like an old school level. You know what a level is? You got the little bubble, and you're trying to get something to make sure it's level, it's even, right? And you have to get the bubble in the middle, right? You know what I'm talking about? Any seen that before, watched it on TV, something? Okay. That's kind of what it was before. Guys, imagine that somebody had built a wall, okay? They would pull a plumb line out at the end of the job to make sure it was square, to make sure it was even, to make sure it was straight. Okay, that it was true to plumb, they would call it. God says, when I made you Israel, when I called you out to be my people, and I delivered you out of Israel, I made sure I taught you right and I taught you straight what was right. Guys, you know what happens sometimes with a house or with a wall or with some kind of structure after a while?
You have erosion, you have the rain working on it, the plants and the acid working on it from underneath, even some insects and animals mess with these things. What happens to a wall sometimes, we've all seen it, after a long time, after a hard winter, what kind of things can happen sometimes?
Fall down.
You know what it'll do? It'll start to sag to where that wall that used to be straight, now it'll have some of this kind of stuff going on. Guys, you bring the plumb line out and you measure it. You say, man, this is not safe anymore. You know what you have to do when you see a wall like that? You got to tear it down. And God's saying, Israel, when I built you, it was straight. It was right. It was according to code. It was exact. I taught you right. Now I look at you years later and what has happened to you? Now lying and cheating and guys cheating on their wives has become commonplace. He's saying, look at you anymore. You're not straight. You're not what you used to be. He's saying, when I come and I show the plumb line and measure you to see if you're level now, if you're straight now, he's saying you're way out of whack and I'm not going to be merciful anymore. And that's what verse 9 is talking about when he's saying, I'm going to bring destruction to you and the sword against the house of Jeroboam. Guys, these are sermons that the prophet Amos was preaching to the northern kingdom of Israel. Okay? Somebody overheard one of his messages and they didn't like what he had to say. But I like his reaction to it. When this pressure gets cranked up and turned up in Amos's life, you know what he does, guys? He remembers where he came from. He keeps it simple. He doesn't try to impress people. He's just trying to please God. Guys, can I tell you there's so much wrapped up in that that we can learn, I believe. I want to give you the title now and then I'll get to the first point. Amos says this, I was a nobody called by the Almighty. That's the title. A nobody called by the Almighty. Listen, guys, that's all we are. We're nothing in the world's eyes. That's okay. We're not trying to be anything. We just want to be something in God's eyes. A nobody called by the Almighty. Point number one, there's a powerful threat. All right, so these will help you with pizza, guys, if you're taking points, all right, taking notes. The powerful threat. Verse number 10. It says, then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. Guys, can I tell you, this is a powerful threat. Amaziah, the first name mentioned in verse number 10, it says he was a priest of Bethel. Listen, guys, he was like the leader of the religion of this northern kingdom. Can I tell you that religion was perverted? It was wicked. It was way off track. Way back when we talked about 150 years ago, when we talked about Rehoboam and the kingdom split. You know what happened, guys, when the kingdom split? This other kingdom, they said, you know what? If we don't watch it, when it's religious time, all the people are going to go back to Jerusalem, Judah, the other kingdom. And they're going to worship there. And then Rehoboam will get all the power and get all the control back of all these people. They said, we can't have that. You know what they did, guys? The guy's name was Jeroboam, but a different one. He says, I'm going to make some golden calves. Does that sound familiar? Golden calves. He said, I'm going to make some golden calves. One I'm going to put in Bethel. That Bethel means the house of God, but it turned into the house of wickedness. Listen, Satan stole, it used to be a headquarters for God, now it was a headquarters for idolatry. Bethel, and then he put another one in Dan, and you know what he told the people? You don't have to go all the way to Jerusalem, that's too far, that's too hard, that's too strenuous. You just stay close, do what's convenient, and go worship this golden calf. He said, and this is a blasphemous thing, he said, these are the gods that brought you out of Egypt. It's amazing God even allowed them to live. But they're living in a period of mercy at this time. But God's calling them out. So this priest of Bethel, this religious leader, probably the religious leader in that kingdom, he says, King, did you hear what Amos is saying about you? Again, let's read verse number 10. He says, then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam. That's the king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against thee in the midst of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. He gives a direct quote from Amos in verse number 11, guys. He says, for thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword. That's what it said at the end of verse number 9. And Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Guys, this is not good news. Listen, Amos, his name means burden bearer.
God laid a heavy message on this man, and he passed it on. He was faithful. He passed it on to the nation of Israel, but they wanted no part of it. This lead priest says, man, I don't like what he has to say. I'm going to tell the king what's going on and that he needs to put this threat down and get rid of this guy and neutralize this thing right away. Guys, can I tell you some important people got offended by Amos? Important people, the lead priest and the king of the nation. I don't know about you, what other important people in this time frame could he have offended, right? Probably no more important than the lead priest and the king. Some important people got offended. Can I tell you also, they were irate at his preaching. They're saying, you can't say this stuff. At the end of verse number 10, guys, it says, the land is not able to bear all his words. You know what it's saying? We can't put up with this. This is not okay. We can't tolerate this. This is not something that we can just let pass by. He's saying that the king's going to die. The nation's going to go into captivity. No, we don't want no part of this. And you know what they try to do also, guys? They try to say that Amos made this stuff up. Can I tell you, Amos didn't make this stuff up. He got it from God. Uriel, he took just what God told him and he told the nation. Wes, they didn't consider for a second, you know what? Maybe we need to listen to this. Maybe we need to humble ourselves down. Maybe this is something that we should respond to and get right about. They didn't care about that. They just got angry at him. They were irate about his preaching. They had an intolerant position. They said, we can't put up with this. There was impending punishment. Something will be done. Backlash is coming, Amos. And notice what this guy says to Amos in verse number 12. Guys, get this. You'll understand this about Amos as we go through. He wasn't some big time preacher. This wasn't something that he had aspired to his whole life. And Micah, he didn't dream of being a big preacher with thousands of people listening to him. That's not how he was. He was just a simple guy. But you know what? God called him to this. And when God called him to this and he fulfilled it, now these people are mad. Notice what they say to him in verse number 12. They give some advice to him. Some intimidating pressure. Also, Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, seer means prophet, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and there prophesy. But prophesy not again anymore at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court. What are they saying, in essence, to Amos? Get out, run, flee for your life, run scared, put your tail between your legs, and get out of here. Hey guys, can I tell you, when that's coming from the lead priest, who was a powerful figure in that culture, and also from the king, I don't know about you, I might have been considering his advice and saying, okay, maybe I need to do that. Hey, that's natural, guys. Listen, it's not fun when we give out tracts and people say, hey, you can't do that in this neighborhood. I'm gonna tell the building manager, hey, you can't do that here. You're going to get in trouble. Security. I've had these kind of things happen before. That's intimidating stuff. It's not stuff that you want to have happen to you. But listen, this in a much grander scale is what Amos is facing. Intimidating pressure. They say, run, get out of here. Go back where you belong. Go back to your little place and there you can preach and there you can live for God. And you can do whatever you want. Just don't do it here where the people are, where the sin is rampant. Don't do it here. We don't want that. Hey guys, can I tell you? They march down these parades on Main Street of some gay pride and some filth and some nastiness. But we get out there and try to give out tracts. They say, you can't do that here. Hey guys, this is what we're facing from time to time. The powerful threat. And they implied some panic. You know what they're saying? Hey Amos, just get scared. Just run away. Just go cry to your mama. It's fine. Just get out of here. That's what they're telling him. They say, you can't preach here anymore. So what's he going to do, guys? You know, as I read this, Nathan, I think, man, what is he going to do? Go right back at him and preach a strong sermon? What is he going to do? Fall on his knees and ask God to help him? Hey, guys, some of those reactions would have been great and fine. But it's very interesting how he responds. We have the powerful threat, point number one. Point number two, it's a personal testimony. You know what he does? He recounts how God called him. The personal testimony. Can we time out real quick? Look up here, guys. That's weird. When you're reading it, and Tim, you have this very intimidating threat that comes against this prophet, this preacher of the Lord. You don't expect him to say, well, when I got saved, you're like, huh? Where'd that come from? This is not a testimony service. This is not New Year's Eve. This is not Christmas Eve when they're passing the mic around church, right? He's saying, I want to tell you guys my background. I want to tell you my story. You know, I think that's the key to the whole success of Amos, though. Guys, he realized that he wasn't some a big wig and big shot. He just realized he was a simple man that God was using. Hey guys, listen, I think sometimes if we don't watch it, we can get, even come to church every week, even in a good, independent, fundamental Baptist church, we can get our mind and our eyes on the wrong thing. Hey guys, listen. Your job is not to get a status. That's not your job, okay? Your job is not to be impressive to people. That's not your job. If those things happen and they're the icing on top of the cake, fine. But don't go after that. Mike and Ethan, you're not trying to have churches know you all across the country and be famous in fundamentalism. That's not your job. You know what your job is? Please God. You know what your job is? Be real. You know what your job is? Be sincere and serve God. And that goes for every single person in the room. But I think if we allow ourselves to, we can get off track in our thinking and we start thinking that other stuff is important. I love how this man responds. Guys, I don't even know if I've adequately described how intimidating and how much pressure was on this man as he's preaching the word of God. When you have the king and the priest of Bethel saying, you can't do this anymore. We don't like what you said. What was he going to do? He gives his personal testimony, verses 14 to 15. Let's read this and then hopefully you see what I'm talking about. Then answered Amos. What is he going to say? Is he going to yell? Is he going to go back at him? Is he going to run home scared? What's going to happen? Here's what he says. Said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. Hey guys, he gives his personal testimony. Again, it's kind of strange when you're reading through it, but I love this. You know what he's saying, Wes? I was a nobody. Listen, guys, he starts off in verse number 14. He's saying, I was no prophet. Neither was I the son of a prophet's son. You know what he's saying? I didn't grow up dreaming of this job, of being a preacher, of being a prophet. He's saying that's not what I was after. My whole life, when it talks about a prophet's son, I don't think it's necessarily saying that a prophet was dead. That could be. But in the Old Testament, it talks about the sons of the prophets. It just means they were training. They were what we would call preacher boys. They wanted to be that one day. He says, I wasn't one of those. I wasn't studying this stuff. Now, he loved the Lord. He was a saved man. Don't get me wrong. But he's saying, my dream wasn't to get up in front of thousands of people at a youth conference or a Bible conference and preach to the masses and preach to the multitudes. He's saying, that's not what I was all about. You know what he's saying? I was a normal guy. This was not the culmination of my striving. I wasn't trying to impress. Listen, I think this false priest was trying to intimidate him and say, hey, you came here to impress people. You failed miserably. Run home scared. You know what Amos is saying? That wasn't my job in the first place. That wasn't what I was after. He says, it wasn't the culmination of my striving. I wasn't trying to be a prophet. I wasn't training to be a prophet. Notice what he says. But I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. You know what he's saying? I was just a common servant. Hey, guys, listen. This is what happened. He's relating when God called him into the ministry. You know what his job was? He was a shepherd. Or he worked with sheep. He was a herdman. He worked with animals. And some of the other references, it leads me to believe he worked with sheep. Guys, there's nothing special about that. A lot of people were in the Old Testament. And also he says, I was a gatherer of sycamore fruit. Maybe that was his side job, his side hustle. I don't know. But listen, he's saying that's what I did. Wes, that's what I did every day. I didn't wake up dreaming of, man, let me have this God do this miracle through me. Let me preach to this nation. Let me preach to this king. Let me tell him that he's going to hell and that he needs to accept the Lord. He said, that's not what I was all about. Guys, I would wake up every day. I would take care of the animals. I would take care of the sheep. And I would gather some fruit on the side and maybe sell it and do these kind of things. All I was trying to do was take care of myself and my family. He's saying, I was just a common servant. I was nothing special. But man, I love verse number 15. He says, and the Lord took me as I followed the flock. He's saying one day I was out there taking care of those sheep, taking care of those animals. But that day was different from any other day. You know why? Because God came down and called me into the ministry. He said, I've got a bigger job for you to do. You say, Brother Tom, what does this have to do with us? Guys, this has everything to do with us. You know what? He was just a faithful servant. Not in anything big, not in anything important, not in anything special. Hey, Micah, I don't think any governmental leader really cared about Amos when he was out there taking care of animals and gathering up fruit. Nobody cared about this dude. He was a nobody. You say, who's that guy? Oh, that worker. Go tap him on the shoulder. I need to talk to him. You wouldn't even know his name. He was anonymous in that culture. But you know what? God knew who he was. God saw that he loved the Lord and that he cared about his nation. And God saw that he was real. And God said, I can use that man. He may be leading them sheep around and taking care of them, but I've got a bigger flock that I want him to talk to, and its name is Israel, because they're my sheep and they've gotten away from me. God's saying, I got a bigger job for you, Amos. Listen, guys, listen, I was just a young man playing baseball. That's all I cared about. I cared about sports. I cared about getting out there and hitting and running and sliding and all the stuff that encapsulates playing baseball. Listen, I'm glad one day God came down my way and said, hey, don't care about that thing anymore. I've got something bigger for you to do. And that doesn't mean I'm anything special now, but I'm glad God calls normal people to do his work. Guys, you don't have to be big time. You hear me? You don't have to be big time. You don't have to have thousands of followers and people hanging on your every word. You just need to love God and be real and be sincere like this young man was. He's out there taking care of animals, picking up fruit and taking care of these things. And God calls him. He took him as he's following the flock. And the Lord said unto him, go prophesy unto my people Israel. God came down on him. He was compelled by the sovereign. And there was a commission that was specific. You know, guys, let me stop and ask you this. Why is Amos telling this dude this personal testimony? Why is he doing that? Can you put yourself in his shoes? He's telling this false priest that's in charge of the religion and the worship of that nation. Why is he telling him this? Any idea? Yeah. You know, I love it because it takes all the pressure off of Amos. You know what he's saying? Guys, this wasn't what I was trying to do. This wasn't my dream that when I got here, it burst on me and the people didn't like me. You know what he's saying? God put me in this. I was just a normal guy working a normal job. God called me and put me into this. And you know what? Because he's the only one I'm trying to please, I don't care what you have to say, Amaziah. I'm listening to what God says. Guys, you see how simple that is? We get it way too complicated. But listen, maybe you can be the same kind of man as Amos was. Man, I think about some of these other guys, some of these guys that we have preaching this class. Listen, guys, Zach cared about football. He got a scholarship, played Division I football. That's what he cared about. He was a good guy. He loved the Lord, but that's what he cared about. I'm glad God came down when Zach was so worried about that and said, I got a bigger job for you. Listen, Tim was old, in aisle 29 or whatever that was, a giant working them crazy hours at night. I'm glad God came down and said, hey, I got a bigger job for you. Listen, God can call you right where you are. You just be faithful. You just be listening. You just be obedient to what God wants you to do. But I love how simple he keeps it. He says, listen, I'm not trying to impress you, Amaziah. I'm not trying to say stuff that you guys like that goes along with the popular consensus and you guys love me and I sign your Bibles, sign your Old Testaments after I preach. He said, I don't care about that. He's saying, listen, I was a normal guy. God called me to this. I'm going to do what he said. That's it. Hey guys, you keep it that simple. Listen, if the big crowds like you one day and they love your preaching, great. If they don't, if you're doing it for God, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. If you're saying what's right, you stand on what God says. If you have a huge class one day, praise God. If you don't have anybody in your class one day, if you're doing what God's called you to do, stay doing it. Stay in there. Don't quit. I love how this guy, listen, guys, this message is all about this. He was focused on the right things. He kept it simple. He's saying, I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm a simple guy. I'm not that smart. I'm not that educated, but God wanted to use me. He's saying I'm a nobody called by the Almighty. I was just taking care of the sheep, man, and God came down and wanted to use me. All right, point number three. Finishing up the last one, he's saying, that's why I'm not shutting up, Amaziah. Point number three, preaching the truth. Point number one, the powerful threat, the personal testimony, preaching the truth. Hey, guys, after he recounts how God got him into this, he gets real specific in the last two verses of this chapter. Verse number 16, preaching the truth. Now, therefore, hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel. Drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be a harlot in the city. Thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword. Thy land shall be divided by line. And thou shalt die in a polluted land. And Israel shall go into captivity forth of his land. Hey, guys, who's he talking to? The priest. This is a prominent guy, right? Like we talked about, this is a widespread, very influential figure. Okay? This is who he's responding to. First of all, guys, in preaching the truth, he says, this is relevant. He said, this is not some prophecy that I did years ago or in ages past. He says, verse 16, now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord. You know what he's saying? This is hot off the press. This just came in. You ever hear the news and they say, this just in. That's what Amos is saying right now. God just told me something to tell you, Mr. Amaziah, and I'm going to share it with you. All right? It's relevant. He's saying, this is hot off the press. This is just for you. You listening? And then in verse number 16, he says, thou sayest, this is what you told me to do. You told me prophesy not against Israel. Drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. You told me you want none of it. You don't want to hear it. You don't want God talking to you. You don't want me preaching anymore. You told me to get out of here, to leave you alone. You said we don't want it. We don't need it. Reminds me of in Proverbs, it says they said at naught all my counsel. They would none of my reproof. You know what it means? They turned their back on. Listen, guys, this can be us. Listen, when you hear the preaching, when you're in church, listen, guys, I'm not talking about you're tired one day or whatever, or you're not in the zone that day. I'm talking about a repeated pattern, Ethan, of guys that come, they don't care. Is he done yet? I hate every second of this. Guys, can I tell you, it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with God. God expects you to listen. God expects you to pay attention. God expects you to care about this and allow this to change your life. It's relevant. And he says, I'm going to repeat what you said, your rejection. In verse number 16, which I read. Verse number 17, it starts off with the word therefore. You know what therefore means? That's why. That's why. And then he gives the repercussions that happen to this person in verse 17. Here's the repercussions. Guys, these are rough repercussions. Again, this goes to Amaziah. This guy that called Amos out and reported him to the king and said, get this guy in trouble. We can't have this guy preaching this kind of stuff anymore. He's a threat. This is what God's word was. And guys, this is not Amos just firing back at this guy. This is God condemning this guy for wanting none of the word of God, for turning his back on it. Here's what I'm saying, teen boy, today. If the word of God keeps getting preached to you, we try to help you, we try to encourage you, you say, I want none of it. Get it out of here. I'm going to live my own life. I don't want to be here. I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to have God tell me what to do. I don't want you telling me what kind of music to listen to and what kind of girls to talk to and not to talk to. Get out of here with that. Okay, that's your choice. But can I tell you, there's a heavy, heavy price to turning away from God's word. You say, where do you read that? And what happened to this guy? He didn't want what God said. He wanted to do it his own way. All right, here's the rough repercussions, and we're done. He's saying this is coming back on you. Verse number 17, therefore thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be a harlot in the city. Whoa. And thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword. And thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land. And Israel shall go into captivity forth of his land. There's a lot of stuff in there, but let me be fast with this. He's saying there's a huge cost for rejecting God's word. First of all, a filthy departure. He's saying, Amaziah, you like your little comfy job, snuggled up next to the king, and you guys are all close and all tight, and you guys have your false worship that's totally a perversion. worshiping these golden calves, saying they brought Israel out of Egypt. God says, okay, you would rather have that than my word. He says, your wife is going to turn into a prostitute. Whoa. That's crazy, man. You know what's going to happen? He's saying the nation's going to go into captivity. This guy, the priest, Amaziah, was going to get taken away too. And his wife, just to survive, was going to have to go into that. That's nasty stuff. Could you imagine somebody you love going to that? Sick, guys. It's filthy. A filthy departure. And then he says your future will be dashed. He says your sons and your daughters shall fall by the sword. Guys, this guy had children. He says when this captivity takes place, they're going to die. Why did all this stuff happen to this guy? Because when the preaching of the word of God came, Daniel, he said, man, I don't want any part of this. Shut this guy up. Listen, you may not say shut up to me physically, guys, but I wonder in your mind if you say, man, I don't want to be here. And again, I'm not talking about a one-week thing. I'm talking about a repeated pattern. It's been going on for a long time. Guys, please, this is not me talking. This is God's word. He's saying, listen to me. Listen, God knows you better than anybody. He created you. He keeps your body sustained each and every day. He knows what's best for you. But some of us say, no, God, no, God, no, God, no, God. I'm going to do my own thing. Mike, I think of the guys that we try to invite on Thursday. Some guys that should be here today. And I'm not wishing doom and gloom on them. But you know, guys, when we knock on people's doors every week and say, come on, man, we need you to come back to church. And they lie to us. They say, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm not trying to beat anybody up. But they say, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they never come. Or they on purpose don't open the door, don't talk to us, guys. They're not saying no to me. You know who they're saying no to? God. You know what they're saying? No, God, not now, not now, not now, not now. And guys, can I tell you what you're saying not now? When you say not now to God, what you're telling God? No. What you want from me right now? No, no, no. And guys, maybe one or two times we think that may not be a big deal. You continue to do that, that's a pattern in your life. You have set up a pattern in your life to say no to God. I hope that you get right before these rough repercussions come in your life. His wife would become a harlot. His sons and daughters would die. It talked about his fortune would be divided. It says his land, talking about his property, his house would be divided by line. When the enemy came in, they were going to section this thing up. Ethan would say, I'm going to take that part. You take that part. All that he worked for, all that he earned, gone. And it says, thou shalt die in a polluted land. You're going to die in a faraway place in the land of Assyria. Who is going to come? Guys, not just 50 years later after this prophecy was written here in Proverbs 7 or Amos 7. I don't know where Proverbs came from. Less than 50 years after this, you know what happened? Assyria came. They conquered Israel, the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes, and took them away into captivity. And all this stuff came to pass. You say, Brother Tom, why do you preach this? Well, guys, you have one guy. He was a nobody. Look at the contrast, and I'm done. He was a nobody, right? But God told him to do something. He did it. He stayed faithful. He stayed loyal. Even Ethan, when he faced some pressure from some very important figures, he stayed faithful, Uriel. Just kept doing what God wanted him to do. People laughed at him. He kept doing it. And God blessed Amos in a great way. You have another guy, Amaziah. He's a quote-unquote religious man, too. He's got status. He's impressive. He knows the king. He's buddy-buddy with him, guys. But when he heard the word of God, Micah, he said, I don't want no part of that. I want to keep my status. I want to keep my job. I want to keep my clout in society. Hey, guys, what happened to that man? He went off into captivity and died. His wife fell into a filthy, horrid practice of harlotry. And his sons and his daughters died. Why? Why? Why, Brother Tom? Because when he heard the word of God, he said no. So I don't want any part of it. Amos, when he heard the word of God, he listened and he followed obediently. Hey, guys, and followed faithfully. Which one are you going to be? Which one am I going to be? Amos says, man, I was a nobody, but I was called by the Almighty. You know what? I'm glad our God's still calling nobodies. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, not many mighty, not many noble, not many wise men are called. You know what that means? In most churches, it's not the elite of the elite of society. It's the humble people. We may not be the smartest, the strongest, the richest, the wisest, but you know what? God can use simple people in a great way. Listen, guys, God doesn't need your talent. God has all talent. God has all skill. God has all ability. He has all power. He just needs us to be humble and to be faithful and to be obedient to Him. Because we can be just like Amos and be a nobody, called and used by the Almighty. Let's bow.